one of my favorites is I actually was interviewing my book agent, Kyle Young, and was talking about what makes a great story, because one of the things early on that we found to help our children have a faith that lasts was to give them a bigger story. So, okay, what makes a good story? And he blows my mind, and he talks about conflict.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got to pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Our nation's capital has just been...
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
Man, I just thought of what I needed to start this episode. Confetti cannon. Soon as it came on, I needed confetti coming down, because this is our 50th episode. Yes, 50. We've done 50 of these things over a really long time. I didn't even go back and look at the date when we started, but we're celebrating the big 50. I'm very curious, has anyone caught all 49 yet? Please drop your name in the comments wherever you're seeing this, whether you're on the Stand Firm Jake platform or over on LifeWord, wherever you're seeing this, drop it in. If you've seen the previous 49 and you need to, I got a call just last week, someone who said, Jake, I had a long road trip. I binged on every one of your episodes. I think we were at like 46 then. So pretty good. Pretty awesome. The big 50. I'm excited. That's a milestone, I believe. That's pretty incredible. And so today I'm going to celebrate by having one of the shortest episodes we've done. Hey, what a better way to celebrate. And I'm going to talk about the number one thing I've learned so far on this quest to how do we help our children have a faith that lasts. I probably could get you to say that with me, right? How do we help our families have a faith that lasts? There you go. I could hear you. Thank you for doing that. So the number one thing I've learned so far, if you've caught this, we take an investigative approach, really just asking this question: how do we help our kids have that faith? Have that faith that lasts, that continues on past graduation, continues the rest of their life. Because as you hear, as we start every time, and we've got a new intro video coming in pretty soon, a shorter one, by the way, but you hear every time said over that children are leaving the faith by droves. Now, interestingly, that's slowing down because so many have left the faith. There's something interesting going on with the spiritual interest happening in the emerging generation right now, and a lot of that is because of just the vast lostness that's happening. So these are interesting times, of course, which we hit on quite a bit. So the number one thing, and also going to talk about how I think you can apply what you learn here on Stand Firm Parents. Because I did. I applied something I recently learned from an episode, so I think you can do it too. Okay, so we're celebrating. We're looking at the number one lesson, and I'm going to share how I applied something. That means you can do it too. The story of Stand Firm Parents, I don't know if I've talked about this really at all as we've been doing this. So I want to just take a minute. I wanted to have, if you stay on and hear the credits at the end of the show, it talks about the show being created by me. That makes sense, right? And my friend, Brandon Harrington. And so I was hoping to have Brandon on. So here's what I'm going to do. The 75th episode, Brandon's coming on. We'll have John come on here from LifeWord and talk about that connection and celebrate that. But on the 100th, we will have confetti. I don't care how long it takes me to clean up the studio, we will have confetti, and I'm going to try to bring the family in on that one. But yeah, so my friend Brandon at the time was in Nashville, and he had a podcast himself called Surviving the Music Industry. He was also helping put out other podcasts. So all the way back in 2018, when I didn't even know what a podcast is, he had started basically like a record label for podcast. Man, was really ahead of the time, knew what he was getting into, knew where this was going, reached out to me, And at the time, I had just left pastoring the year before that. I guess it's, and I think it's at 2018 because that was when the first episode dropped. But Brandon reached out to me in 2016. He was way ahead of the game. I didn't know anything about podcasts other than pastors putting their sermons on and those being labeled called podcasts. That's all I know. In 2016, 2017, I had just left pastoring full-time and was launching Stand Firm. My friend Brandon reaches out to me. He's like, man, we've got this label of a different podcast. I'm like, well, what's a podcast? And he began to talk about, man, this is the future. This is where things are going. I didn't quite get it. But he begins to talk about, hey, I want to do a spiritual one. And so me and Brandon grew up together. We were in a ministry together in high school, early college, got the chance to go to college together. And he's done a lot of cool stuff in missions and in music. And so he reached out. And so began working through that, finally said yes to that. And he comes out to my house. It was Christmas, I think Christmas of 2017, sets me up in my office, sets me up with a studio, and we had this plan. I would record there, and then I would get a hard drive. At that time, get the hard drive physically to Nashville, and was the plan, but we eventually learned some Dropbox stuff and all that stuff and found ways to transfer giant files. And so I would record at my home, and I would send it to Nashville. And there it would be edited by a team there. Great job. But at that time, it was not called Stand Firm Parents. It was called Hold On. And those are still out there, I think, on YouTube. Maybe the only place you can find those episodes. We did a run of about 14 episodes, highly produced, incredible, really good. The music that's involved in it, the guys were doing, the team was doing. Did a lot of cool stuff, some really cool guests, some cool stories. The whole heart was, as we were taking what I was doing with Stand Firm and encouraging believers to remain faithful and looked at, okay, how could we encourage someone to remain faithful and hold on to their faith? And we wanted to speak in terms of maybe someone who wasn't tracking in prophecy, because pretty much at that time, anyone who was really concerned about, okay, will I remain faithful, concerned about standing firm in persecution, they were tracking with End Times Prophecy and things like that. So we tried to go in a space there where it kind of really going up against deconstruction and some different things, incredibly produced again. Again, I think you can find those on YouTube at Stand Firm Jake. You can find the whole series that we did called Hold On. So did this series so well produced, but we hit nowhere. People listened to them because they were good, but it just didn't have an audience because you either had Christians who were like, man, I don't need to hold on, I'm good. Or you had those who needed to hold on who wasn't leaning in or turning into that. And so after a season, we're like, man, we've got to speak to somebody. And so how do we take this message that's in your heart, Jake, and do that? And so we sat on that for a while and really began thinking about that, working through that. So fast forward 2020, February 2020, I am going to Nashville to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. I'm there to push my new children's book that's coming out that year, Jesus and His White Horse. And I'm there. And again, my aim at that time, I'm speaking to churches saying, hey, things are going to change, whether it's like end time stuff, persecution, just churches, we know it's going to change. Remember, this is February 2020. I was on to something. I just didn't understand what I was on to. And saying, when that happens, it's going to challenge your faith. And so we're really aiming to adults. So I go in, I'm pushing this children's book, but there at the Gaylord there in Nashville in the hotel, in the convention center, there was two different conferences going, the NRB that I'm at, and then the Teach Them Diligently homeschool convention down the hall. And since I was at NRB, they hooked us up where we could go to the expo there at Teach Them Diligently. Some of you are part of the Teach Them Diligently convention, because since then I've been attending those myself, because I walk in and this is my first exposure. And when I walk in, the Lord just gave me a vision of, man, so many great ministries, but really focused on your children now. What are we doing for them after they leave our homes and leave graduation? So just have this vision. I go back to the hotel and I begin sketching out, because I had to meet with Brandon, I think the next day, and had this whole other plan was looking at and just scratched it. And it's like, man, I want to target and talk to parents and talk about this lasting faith idea. So we sit down at a restaurant there, and the Gaylord scratch it out literally on a napkin. And he says, all right, man, shoot me some, give me some material. And so we launch out and we start right off the bat. Second guest I get is Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. And we just hit the door running. Just audio at the time, still being produced in Nashville. Just incredible job there. So we put out, I think, about 24 episodes there as a team. And then I got the opportunity, wanted to take it to video, and got the opportunity to partner with LifeWord. And so to come into their studios, us share the content, and the opportunity to speak to parents on a much broader scale. Unfortunately, I have to see my face. And that. So that's the story of Stand Firm Parents. A napkin in Nashville. And really cool, when we launched that first one, Hold On, again, that was where I became more aware of the deconstruction movement. And so we're there at a coffee house in Nashville. And at the time, one of the major voices that was coming out in deconstruction was Derek Webb. And he had his podcast called The Airing of Grief. And so, but we were talking about that and looking at different podcasts that were doing well and planning. And Derek Webb comes into that coffee shop. And it was kind of like two opposing sides there in the same room, which is really cool. But what I feel like with Hold On, we were being defensive. And when we went to Stand Firm Parents, it was a chance to be on the offense and really help people remain faithful. I should not have done that part about this being a quick episode. You're probably noticing this is a little bit more raw, just going off the cuff. I thought I would just like, okay, let's take a breath. Let's dial down the production. Let's dial down the pressure and let's just talk. Let's just chill. So spent a lot of time on the story, but really it's been cool. And I think just kind of looking back at that now, and where God has taken this and where he's used things, it's really cool. And so I'm glad you got to be a part of it. And you need to go back and check out some of those earlier episodes if you just caught the video versions here over at LifeWord. You can go over to StanfordMinistries.com, or you can go to YouTube, Stanford Jake, or wherever, and find, or just wherever you're listening to this podcast, if you're on Apple or whatever, Spotify, whatever it is, you can go, and they are in the same list. One of my favorites is I actually was interviewing my book agent, Kyle Young, and was talking about what makes a great story, because one of the things early on that we found to help our children have a faith that lasts was to give them a bigger story. So, okay, what makes a good story? And he blows my mind, and he talks about conflict. And very interesting, I just recorded an episode that is just finished before doing this one. And it's coming out in about 4 or 5 weeks, part of our next series called Hello to Emotional Health. And we talk about one of the things that is creating an anxious generation is that we've made things too safe for our children. And I was like, that's crazy, that arc that's come through that. Okay, so we've had a lot of incredible guests. We've had some guests who are in the family ministry sphere, but most of our guests are outside of that sphere. And looking at different disciplines, looking at family ministry, children's ministry, parenting as disciple makers from a different angle has really been the goal. So all through that. So if you had asked me at 24 episodes, when me and Brandon teamed up and was doing that together with Dime Collective, if you asked me, okay, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned? I would go to story, and I would go to that part of conflict. And then the last episode we did called Why They Stay, I actually had the opportunity to visit with Josh Denhart of Kid Science Ministry. Really cool work that he does, but he had made famous this graphic that talked about not, a lot of times I talk about the number of children who are leaving the faith, raised in Christian homes, leave the faith. He was asking the question, okay, what about the ones who stay? Why did they stay? And the number one factor was, mind-blowing, was that they had time with their family. Number one, they ate dinner as a family. So, okay, first 24 episodes in, you asked me and said, okay, during that time, what? It was a story. It was a surprise that conflict mattered. So we did an episode, give them conflict. But then also after that, learning how important it was just to sit down to dinner. Very cool. Okay, so since then, we've done 26 episodes, or I guess 25, and we've got this one. So what is it I've learned? It was probably mentioned right off the bat when I started, but I think you can summarize all of that into saying, as parents, we need to be intentional. Intentionality. That number one lesson, 50 episodes in, that I've learned is as parents and as parents as disciple makers, we must be intentional. Early on, we have an episode called No Neutral, which we talk about this, but as parents, we can't coast. We can't coast. I mean, we can think about as parents, okay, we're not doing, maybe we're not harming our children. Above board, right? We're doing status quo. We're not harming them. We're not putting them in harmful situations. Hey, we're taking them to church. We're trying to do the right thing and all of that. But if we're not being intentional in our disciple making with them, in our building our relationship, coasting always ends up in the ditch. I don't care how straight the road is that you're on, it doesn't get there. And you've got to be intentional. And so I think back of just the recent episodes, as we've done a lot of series as we've come in and partnered with LifeWord. We started with parents as disciple makers. Then we did one on Israel, which I think was very timely and interesting. Then we had the long one on fully integrated faith. Then we've got the one Hello to Emotional Health coming next. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about tech. We've talked about all these different things. In all of them, it takes us as parents stopping and saying, whoa, okay. I've got to make an intentional step with myself, making sure I'm a disciple, I'm following Christ, I'm living the life that I want to live. No, I'm not meaning live out your dream in living the life you want to, I guess that would be good, right? I'm talking about living out your values, and we're going to end with that, but being intentional, making sure you're doing that, being intentional in your marriage. Marriages just can't coast. All areas of intimacy can't be created if you're just coasting. Your Christian walk cannot be lived out faithfully if you're just coasting. Our parenting in all aspects cannot be done if we're just putting in a neutral, if we're just like, it'll kind of take care of itself. We'll get in church, we're just going to live right, and it'll just work itself out. Or even maybe you're taking the step of homeschooling in a Christian school or something like that. At the same time, it still cannot work on autopilot. You've got to be intentional. So the number one lesson I've learned in 50 episodes, I feel like I would still be maybe saying that 75 episodes in when we try to get Brandon on and John in here. And then 100 episodes when we're going to do the confetti cannon. I believe intentionality is still going to be the thing to really kind of go back to and say, hey, this is the main thing that we need to keep in front of us. Okay, we've celebrated. You can see I'm a little pumped. I've actually got more pumped talking about this than I did even thinking about this episode. I'm like, man, we've done something. We've made 50 episodes in. We've learned something. Thinking back at all the conversations that I've had the chance to have, you've had the chance to watch or listen to. But what I hope is that this isn't just something you hear and you file away. I hope it's something you put into motion, you put into action, you put into your family. Don't just file, do. I want to say obey because you're not obeying me. You're not obeying our guest. But how the Holy Spirit works through this, I hope that you obey that, where He is leading in your life. And so we did a two-part episode with Andrew Brunson, which was an incredible episode. Which was an incredible get for me and for the show to get Andrew Brunson on. Incredible story, 2016 in prison, 2014, 2016 in prison in Turkey, all over the news internationally. Everybody heard this story, and to be able to just talk to him about first his story, but then talk about persecution coming, and then weaving in the areas in which we can be faithful and be prepared. It was an incredible get. And I know you look at that and you're like, Andrew Brunson, parenting, well, it was a cool get, but how does that really fit? Well, that's kind of how I roll, is I'm looking for people who aren't, maybe they don't even have their mind on family ministry. Andrew even told me that. He shared an article his mother had written. When I asked him to be on, he's like, I don't know how that fits. I'm like, listen, man, you just tell your story. You just tell what you've learned. The Holy Spirit will do the bridging. In that second episode on persecution, which is crazy, that's actually one of the, Andrew Brunson, good get, good content, was actually one of the least watched episodes, which is blows my mind. But anyway, go back and check it out. I'm asking him and talking about his time in prison. And he talks about, and I love how real he is, he's talking about just how disastrous that first year is, how it wrecked him emotionally. And we talk about how things could have been better, how things could have been prayer. But he talks about the second year in prison, how better it was, how it strengthened his walk with God. And he used a phrase, he said, in the past, in my life of freedom, I worshiped out of joy, I worshiped out of thankfulness, But in that prison, I had to worship out of will. He talked about one of the disciplines he had was just dance before the Lord, I think for like 5 minutes. I love what he said. No, I wasn't doing that beforehand. And he said, but I didn't dance because I felt like it. He said, I made myself do that. Another word that you could put there is he was disciplined for doing that. But I thought it was unique how he said it. It was a worship of will, that he made himself worship, made himself dance before the Lord, made himself pray. And I talked about the number one lesson I've learned over 58 episodes is intentionality. Well, in that intentionality, it often has to be something of the will. I don't know about you, but in my life, I often have things that I want to do personally in my marriage and as a family. And when I say things I want to do, I'm talking about the values I want to instill, the spiritual disciplines or the spiritual just leadership in those areas, just presence, relationship goals, those type things. And in my mind, I live that out because I want it and I think it. But listen, if you don't do it, then you don't live that out. That makes sense? So if you have a desire and you're like, I have a desire to have a daily time with the Lord, regular time with the Lord. And so you tell yourself you have a regular time with the Lord. But if you took your month or 3 months and you only had 5 times that you seriously did that, then you're not living out your values. And I think a lot of times as just people, but as believers, I think we have the halo effect where we think we're doing better than we are. And I'm not trying to bring anybody down with that, but I just want you to take an honest assessment of your intentionality of the things you want to do. So personally, I hear Andrew say that. This year has been one of the most challenging in my life, probably one of the most difficult, as I've battled through something which we'll be sharing more about in the next series, again on emotional health. So there you go, where we're going with this. And during that time, it's been easy to kind of set back and take a victim mentality, just like I've struggled, it's not been a good spot, and just kind of be okay to let things roll, let things be in neutral. And so I heard that, and I really went back, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make sure the things that I want in my life, I actually practice and do. And so I found these red rubber silicone bracelets, and I wrote, I think it was 5 of them, and I wrote these values that I wanted. I don't have them today, but I've been wearing them for 2 weeks straight. My kids are like, what do you got? What is this, Dad? Trying to be cool. What is it? It's just a reminder that I want to do the things I want to do. And that doesn't mean, hey, independent, I just want to do what I want to do. No, it means the values I have. I don't want to just think I have those values. I want to make sure that all of the actions I do lives out those values. What I say, I want to say what I want to say. I have the freedom to do that. No, it's the words that come out of my mouth, I want to make sure represent the values. Represents that I want to be a follower of Christ, that I want to be a good husband, that I want to be a good father. I want to, in the intentional ways, the things that we've learned over these episodes, learned in the Word, those things that I want to apply to our life, make sure I'm doing. So I share that to say, hey, I'm learning with you, but I also want to think about, okay, these are some ways you can apply things. Because again, he's talking about persecution. He's talking about doing this in prison. And that's why I'm bringing these guests in, because they have lived stand firm lives. Traditional, just the way we do children's and family ministry has not produced stand firmers, as we talked about in one of our episodes. Standers, I think, was what Ollie Goldenberg talked about. Hasn't produced that. But maybe some of these other disciplines, some of these other ideas have merit to help with that. But unless we're intentionally practicing them, it doesn't happen. Okay, I don't know if I can edit out where I said at the beginning, let's celebrate with one of the shortest episodes, because that was clearly wrong. And I know better. I know better than to try to tackle multiple things at one time. But I think you can tell I'm excited. We made it to 50. We've made it to 50. We've got at least 6 more ready to go coming out over the next six weeks. Super excited about the series that starts next week. Dr. Mark Dance is the guest as we talk about Hello to Emotional Health. You're going to love it. You need to check that out. Be ready for that. But the number one lesson I've learned is be intentional. And the lesson I am learning is it may take a decision of will or discipline to be intentional. So let's go. Another 25, then another 25. Let's see 100. What do you think? Thank you for being a part of the journey. We've got more to come. Thank you for following Stand Firm Parents.
You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.